Shalom Chevron. There's a chilling medrash in Dvarim Rabba. Read it to you guys. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Kevin Shanata Moshe Lomis. Moshe Rabbeinu takes us out of Mitzrayim, leads us through the Midbar, the great Nisim Benaflos that he conducts for us, and he brings us to the cusp of Eretz Yisrael, and he's about to pass on to the next world. V'lo bikshu alav rachamim shikani sardes. The medrash tells us, Klai Yisrael did not ask for rachamim on his behalf, that he should enter into Eretz Yisrael. He brings them in and he starts giving them tochacha, rebuke. Amar lahem, he says to them, Echad pada shishim ribo be'egel. One man saved over shishim ribo, all of Klai Yisrael, at the egel. If I could add to Moshe Rabbeinu for a moment, he saved them more times than just the egel. Says Moshe, I saved you, but shishim ribo lo yechol niftos adam echad. But shishim ribo weren't able to save one person. You weren't able to save me. Do you forget everything that I've done for you? The sacrifices I've made, the effort I've expended? I've done so much for you. Nobody's daven for me. My chaver of Chesin Glashlito was mechavin to the Maral Diskin, the aura that he makes on this medrash. We're all familiar with another medrash, famously, the beginning of Eskanan, that the Gematria of Eskanan is 515. Moshe Benu offered 515 tefilos that he should be allowed into Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Al-Tosef the very lie, don't speak to me more. Says the Maral Diskin, the implication of the first medrash that we quoted is that Lu Yitzur, all of Klai Yisrael, gotten together and created a day. Chevra, we're going to daven for Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going to storm the gates of the Shemaim and we're going to daven for Moshe Rabbeinu. It would have worked. The Gezer bin Espat of Moshe Rabbeinu would have waltzed right into Eretz Yisrael. Maybe even as the manik of Klai Yisrael. Who knows what could have happened? It makes us wonder, did anybody even think about offering one tefillah on behalf of Moshe Rabbeinu? Did anybody think, maybe after all he sacrificed for us, all he's done for us, maybe we should daven for him for a change? Not just him for us? What could have happened if anybody would have thought that way? That maybe the manhig also deserves our care and concern, our tefillos? Or do we just take from the manhig and allow him to save us, and then we go on our merry way as he stays behind on the other side of the Yarden? Klal Yisrael has a way of doing this sometimes, taking advantage of the manhigim, the mosos that give the most to us. Taking, and not giving anything back. Not thinking about maybe me contributing back, saying thank you, recognizing, acknowledging. It's specifically the people who sacrifice most that we take the most advantage of. There's another chilling pasuk in Mishlei, where the pasuk in Mishlei describes the aluka, literally the leech, that has shtei bonos that cry out, have. Literally, give me. Gemara Avodah Zarah, many of you may have learned a couple of years ago, says that the aluka is a metaphor for Gehenna. It's cryptic. What exactly is it between aluka and Gehenna? If you think about what Gehenna is, the Maral says throughout all of his writings, Gehenna represents heder. Total nothingness. Salmaves, Sheol, it's nothingness. It takes that which used to have potential. In its lifetime, a human being who could have become so much and wasted that potential, and Gehenna is the destination for the total loss of that potential. It just wastes away. There's nothing left. That might be the symbolism of the fire of Gehenna. It just consumes. The midah of the aluka and the midah of Gehenna is taking more and more. It devours. It consumes. It destroys. And it doesn't give anything back. Nothing's left by the time it's finished. It just keeps on taking more and more. Have. And I think this is the way that we treat some of our greatest leaders and our mosos. The things that we need most, we take and we take and we take. And when we're finally satisfied and we decide that we've got enough, we go off on our merry way, we slither away to our new host, and we latch on to the other host. And now, whatever happened to the manik happens to the manik. Why do we really care? We don't need him anymore. It's fine. It's a toxic magili attitude. That I deserve more. I should have this, and you're not providing me with this, and you're not providing me with that, and I should have it, and you're not giving it to me. How dare you? And when I'm fed up with you and you're not working anymore for me, I'll just go into my new host. I don't need you. It's aluka. Share with you one of my favorite poems. I think I've read it here before in the past. Forgive me. It's The Lanyard by Billy Collins. He's describing how he has a memory. He takes something out of a drone. He has a memory that brings him all the way back to a year in camp, where he's sitting by a deep Adirondack lake, learning how to braid long, thin plastic strips into a lanyard, a gift from my mother, a lanyard. She gave me life and milk, and I gave her a lanyard. She nursed me in many a sick room, lifted spoons of medicine to my lips, laid cold face cloths on my forehead, and I, in turn, presented her with a lanyard. Here are thousands of meals, she said, and here is clothing and a good education. And here is your lanyard, I replied, which I made with a little help from a counselor. Here's a breathing body and a beating heart, strong legs, bones, and teeth, and two clear eyes to read the world, she whispered. And here, I said, is the lanyard I made at camp. And here I wish to say to her now as a smaller gift, not the worn truth that you can never repay your mother, but the rueful admission that when she took the two-toned lanyard from my hand, I was as sure as a boy could be that this useless, worthless thing that I wove out of boredom would be enough to make us even. It's gewaldig. We could use a lot of mussar about showing more akar stov to our parents, specifically before Pesach, and going home, and how much akar stov we should have. And that's a mussar shmooze that I'm not even worthy to give, and we should speak about that, and we should mechazik ourselves in the inyan. That's not what I wanted to speak about tonight. I wanted to speak about our yeshiva. When I read this poem, I think about our yeshiva. I'm reaching the formal end of my tenure here, I guess in a formal way. Probably the next couple of months, leaving the walls of the Beis Medrash. I've been thinking a lot about how much I owe the yeshiva. I deeply appreciate what this yeshiva has given to me. I deeply appreciate Mori Varabi Ravozin Swag Shlita. It's an understatement. I desperately need my Rebbe. Desperately need my Rebbe. I need the Rosh Kolal and their Horah and their Torah. I need the Torah of the Rosh Yeshiva, my Rebbe Rav Wiederblank. I need the Torah of the Mashpia. I need my relationship with Rabbi Bless. I look at myself without these things and I see a shallow shadow. Pathetic. Sitz dovel. Kecholom yo'of manch. Nothing without them. We owe everything. All of you probably feel the same way, and if you don't, you should feel the same way. Because it's true. We owe them everything. And by the way, yes, I also appreciate the secular education I got here also. That too. It goes even deeper than that. This yeshiva is the oxygen of modern Orthodoxy. If Rachman Hatzlan, anything would happen to this yeshiva, the entire community would literally collapse in on itself in moments. Think about it. The vast majority of your shul rabbanim, the high school mechanchim that you had in elementary school, the rabbi you had in Eretz Yisrael, all of them learned here. Talmidim of our Rosh Yeshiva. Not only did they not have to pay to be able to go through the kolol here, they got a stipend, which many of them would not have been able to do without it. They learned Torah here because of this yeshiva. They were able to do. We've received so much over the course of years from this yeshiva, even before we even got here. It's not even close. Nothing compares. So our yeshiva provides us with our rebbeim, our machteach to the Mesorah HaKadosha, the Vekas Vakadosh Baruch Hu, Olam Haba Olam Hazem Manish. It provides us with the surah of what it means to walk in the Derech HaMemutza, to strive for balance, complexity, nuance, the ability to be mefardes our families b'chavod, and everything. And what do we give back? What do we give back? A cynical kick every single time something doesn't go exactly our way? Do we even give a lanyard? Halavai even a lanyard. Halavai we would keep that negative, cynical tone that we all have when it comes to describing the institution, and maybe give something back, anything, and try to call it even. Halavai. It's funny, we always talk about having a positive perspective at Ein Tov, about different types of Jews, and different segments of Klal Yisrael, and suddenly when it comes to Yeshivas, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elkanan, it becomes a mitzvah to arise to have the Ayin Hara of Bilam HaRasham Mamish, scrutinizing and cursing every single little last imperfection that I find with a magnifying glass. This, that, this isn't good enough, that's not good enough, this needs to be there, that needs to be there. We're talking about Bilam HaRasham. We're leeches. We take. And then when something doesn't go exactly our way, more ha. I need more. I demand more. It's a midas hagehenna. I'll give a story that I think captures this, and it's a story not about a particular person. In fact, I love this person. He's Gadol Mimenu. He is. It's a way of me expressing something that I've done all the time. Every client will know that the reason why I was motivated to give the Sigas Musha was because of a comment I made in a moment of frustration, where I didn't give proper respect to our institution, to our yeshiva. It's a particular story about a guy, met a couple of years ago, I think it was 4 years ago, some of the alumni approached me, They wanted to start an early morning chabura. They were living in Heights. They were working in the city. They wanted to start an early morning chabura at 5:30 a.m. Amazing guys. You should know more about them. We should be advertising them more often. They're incredible. And they're still learning all over the place. In Teaneck now, and obviously Rav Tyler took over for me. They've been learning in Shank. You go, you're Zohar to see them. And somehow they managed to convince me, Yoel Palk told me that I'd only do it for a month until he would find somebody else, and then 3 years later I was still doing it. Not clear exactly how that happened. Fine. I was meshuggah enough to say yes and to teach at 5:30 a.m. Fine. So I mentioned, we were learning Sukkah, and I mentioned to the Chevra, you know, the yeshiva learned Sukkah night Seder. There were bechinos that Rav Rander wrote for all of us. Maybe we should just ask. Maybe you guys, as alumni, you're not current talmidim in the yeshiva, but maybe you'll be able to get Svar money still. I'll ask weeks. I'll ask them what they think. I said that out loud, and one of the guys in the chabura, who again I love so much, he's really an amazing person. He said, he like rolled his eyes like, yeah, like Weitz is going to give that to us. So I took a step back for a second and I thought, translation of that thought is, how dare Weitz only give me $2,400 of free svarim? It should be $3,000 of free svarim. And never mind the fact that I'm now being taught by Weitz employee at 5:30 in the morning, and that I'm still not giving anything to Weitz. How dare they not give me more? Ha! I want more. I deserve more. We're all like this. It's always about me, what I need, my needs, and I need more, I need more. Do we give anything back? Even just the Ayin Tov, even just looking positively, talking positively about the Shiva. Halavai. Even a lanyard. There's more at stake here than just a mita, if you can even say such a thing. It's not just a mita of a Karsa Tov. As Moriv Rabbi Rosenzweig would say, it's a linchpin. And for those who have heard of Rosenzweig use that term dozens of times and still have no idea what it means it holds it all together. Without the linchpin, everything falls apart. A Karsa Tov is a linchpin in Yiddishkeit. It's the tzura of a Yid. If you don't have it, you're literally missing the tzura of what it means to be a Jew. We all know this svar. I'll repeat it, just because it's kedai to repeat all the time. We know famously that the Torah tells us in Parashas Kiseitzei that there are certain people who can enter into Kal Hashem. They might need a little bit of a tikkun, a couple of generations. Some people cannot. They cannot come in ever. Ever. Why? Pasuk tells us. Because they didn't give us bread, they didn't give us lodging, they didn't help us, and because Moab hired Bilam to try to curse us. And the Mefarshim already asked the obvious question. Edom, who we were just told can enter into Klal Yisrael, also were not so hospitable when we passed by them. What's so bad about Amon not offering us anything to eat or drink? And the Ramban says there's a big difference between Edom and Amon and Moab. Amon and Moab are descendants of Amon and Moab, the originals, born from Lot and his daughters. Who saved Lot and his daughters? B'schutz Avraham Avinu, the Pesukim say explicitly, B'schutz Avraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Lot and his daughters out of Sodom. The only reason why Amon and Moab exist today is because of Avraham Avinu, because of our forefather. And the chutzpah to deny that Tova and to be kafoy Tov and to not help Avraham Avinu's ancestors in their time of need, lo yavo b'kal Hashem. You don't belong in Klal Yisrael. You can't come in. You're worse than a Mitzri and an Adomi. Such a thing could be said. It's worse than anything. You can't enter the Klal Yisrael. It's anathema. It's disgusting. Klal Yisrael cannot bear people who are kfiyei tov by their nature. You can't exist as a member of Klal Yisrael. The whole center of Sipur Sivtei Tzraim is all about being makar tov. This is what Mori Rabbi was speaking about last night when he gave that the shir, the zecher, his father. The whole kunz of Arami Oved Avi, the parsha that we deliberately darshan as the kiyum of Agadah, all of it is about being makir tov. Higati Yom Hashem Elokecha, says the Targum Yerushalmi, Odinon B'Shabchinon. We praise and thank the Rabbono Shel for everything. It's not about recounting events. It's about feeling deep-seated thankfulness for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. Says the Maharal, Sipur Sivtei Tzraim would be usur if not for the fact that it wasn't motivated by trying to say how great Hashem is. Says the Maharal in the first paragraph of Gurus Hashem, it's because we need to express thanks. You can't be a kafoy tov. Usually we say, me and ma'ala gevuras Hashem. You can't try counting the praises and all the things that make a Kodesh Baruch Hu so unique, all the tovos that he's done for us. It's impossible. You'll never get there. It's like trying to add to ha'kel ha'gadol ha'gibor ba'anon. You could keep on going for infinity. You never get there. Even Sipur Sivtei Tzraim, we can't possibly recount more than a drop of what a Kodesh Baruch Hu did for us. But you can't be a kafoy tov, says the Maharal. You can't. You can't be a yid and be a kavod tov. It just doesn't work. So we need to. It's a heter. We need to say thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what we tell at Sefer Yetzirah Mitzrayim. It's all about saying thank you. Kfiyas HaTov could be even worse, by the way. Again, even crazier. We all are familiar with the Sifrei. Notes famously that anytime the Torah says Sviya, satiation, it's always followed by Merit, Behita. Tavar and Paraklam HaBeis. V'shimah Yishurun Vayivah. We get fattened, and we rebel, we kick. Tavar and Parak Yadav. We say it every single day. Kriyat Shema. V'nasati Esa B'satcha Levantecha V'achalta V'savata Hishomru Lachem. When you start getting it good, when you experience Sevilla, be very careful that you don't turn over to Avodah Zarah. Torah warns us again and again. Some other examples. Again, don't forget the Kadosh Baruch when you experience Sevilla. And Tvarim Parakhes, Pentochal Vesavata, lest you eat and you become satiated and a couple of Pesukim later, you'll forget the Kadosh Baruch. Be careful about Sviya. Zok Rav Tzadok, though, there's a solution. And the Torah tells it to us in Dvarim Perek Lachas. There was only one way to get away from Sviya unscathed. V'chalta v'savata u'virachta as Hashem avokem. To say Berachas Amazon, Bekavan. Mikra Bikurim, says Rav Tzadok. To be zochet to achila b'simcha, at the end of the parasha, you have to do Mikra Bikurim. Shevach v'hodol akel, and mostly hodol akel. Of how reliant we are upon him, how much we owe him. And it's a joke to even say it that way because that's only a drop of anything that we could possibly ever express. But you need to say thank you. And if you do, and you acknowledge the nosin and what he gave to you, you're saved, says Ritzalot, from a kitchruk. There's a kitchruk from the Yetzirah when you start denying the good that you've received. When you forget about the nosin, and the Yetzirah rightfully claims you don't deserve it anymore. Why should you have it? You've literally kicked the source of the blessing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it away. Not v'achalta v'savato v'erachta s'sham alokecha. Rak al yidei birchas ha-mazon shebezeh shemakir koach ha-nosing shebo yovi ha-maich al yidei kitchok ha-yitzahara. You're saved from the kitchok of the yitzahara and you're able to maintain that sviya. However, sviya satiation, it doesn't mean eating a good steak for dinner. That's not what it means. Certainly not only that. What do we beg the Rebbeinu Shlom every single Shabbos? Sabenu mituvech. That we should be satiated from your goodness. We're begging Kadosh Baruch Hu, as the Baal Tanya says, our neshamos need satiation. The lechem umayim of the neshama, our Torah, avodah, kibiyas chasadim, devekas v'kadosh Baruch Hu. We beg the Rebbeinu Shlom, sabenu mituvech. We're not just talking about sviya of being able to eat a full meal. We're talking about everything that's meaningful in your life. The sviya of feeling a connection with the Rebbeinu Shlom. And when your zochet is such a sublime sviya, and you feel the presence of the Rosh Hashanah, and you, Rachman Litzlan, reject, and you're bowed in those who gave it to you, you're arousing a kitchruk in Hashemayim that threatens to take away everything that you thought was so precious. When in Gassas Ruach, you deny those you received it from, and you forget about the Rebbeim who slaved away to give you the experience that got you anywhere close to where you are today. And you deny it again and again, you threaten the Yetzirah rightfully, Rachman al-Islam, should be able to take away that which you've achieved. Achalta v'savata u'beirachta s'Hashem lokecha. Unless you're makir tov to the Rebbeinu Shlom and to his shluchim, who have provided you with a connection and a mafortin, with the v'devak tabo, you're in serious trouble of losing everything that is special about this yeshiva. I see some guys sometimes sitting at the end of their yeshiva experience in YU, and these are people who have received everything. The Rebbeim have slaved and sacrificed and tried to give everything that they could. And I'm not just talking about our yeshiva. I'm talking about elementary school Rebbeim and high school Rebbeim and Camp Mechanchim, Rebbeim Neretz Yisrael, everybody. And you see the Vayishman Yishurun Vayivat. You see the Regal Gaiva, the kick. So if I don't need any of this, they didn't do it right, they didn't do it this way, they didn't do it that way, I need this, I need that. The most painful thing, Rav Lichtenstein used to say, of the shift to the right, he used to put in quote-unquote, whatever that means, the most painful thing is people who are bowed and those who sacrifice so much in the midbaros where there was nothing except for that mechanic. When they come back and they think they're so holier than thou, they come back and give a good kick as they walk by. And it's cool for those people who lose the Derech HaMamutza, who lose Kedusha, Vatayra, because there's a kitchruk on them in Hashemayim. It's exactly what Ritzalik was talking about. They don't deserve to have Sabeinu Mituvecha. They don't deserve the Svi of Torah. They don't deserve the Svi of the Bekas Bakadosh Baruch Hu. They don't have a Tzura of a Yid. How could you be Dabuk Takadosh Baruch Hu? You're losing everything that's precious. We need to reconnect and show a lot more Hakaras HaTov. It's the only way to do it. Forget about the individuals for a moment. At the core of modern orthodoxy, there's a kitruk against us. There's something rotting at the center of our community. There's no community that is so reliant upon a single institution, I think, in the entire world. The modern orthodox community needs this yeshiva. Where's the Hakaras HaTov? I'm asking myself just as much as anybody else. I hear constant complaints. Where's the Ayin Tov? Where's the Hakaras HaTov? Rav Rosenzweig Sr. Zatzal. Rav Rosenzweig says that he couldn't say a bad word about the yeshiva. He got too much out of it when he came. He just couldn't. Too much Hakaras HaTov. Yeah, that's when you're Zochet, to become somebody like that. When you have that type of Hakaras HaTov. So I know what a lot of you guys might be thinking right now. One, he's going to go way over 10 o'clock, which is probably true. A couple more minutes, please. I promise I won't be doing this for a while, probably. But really, what everybody's thinking is, it's the big ava. But there's so many problems. There's so many issues. There's so many objective issues and qualms that I have that are legitimate. Complaints, problems, issues. I've heard people who are much greater than us complain about various different things. So how can I show a Hakaras HaTov? So a couple of things. First, that complaint doesn't seem to bother anybody when it comes to yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. Some of the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael are the most dysfunctional institutions on the face of this planet. And guys love bragging about how bad their food was in yeshiva. My food was worse than your food in yeshiva. And it's so geschmack how pasim el toichal. And suddenly they get to YU and suddenly when they cut one item from the menu on Shabbos, the classic YU is ridiculous. It's classic. I have a solution for you. I'm going to reach out to your yeshiva. I'm going to get a special package delivered to your door, Erev Shabbos, straight from the yeshiva kitchen. It's not because of dysfunction. We have plenty of institutions that we're very loyal to, and they deserve our loyalty, and they deserve our Hakaras HaTov, and we show our Hakaras HaTov to them, and it's not because they're functional. So that's not a good excuse. And two, who says that just because there are problems with the institution that means that we don't have to show our Hakaras HaTov? Who said? Ramu Shlitel quotes this Rashi. It's a Gvaldik Ha'aro. Revolve noted that Adam, when he's called out by Kadosh Baruch Hu for eating from the Eitz Hadas Tov Ra, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, knew what happened. And Adam says, Ha'isha Asher Nesata Imadi. You gave me chava. She gave me to eat. It's her fault. And hey, says Rashi on the spot, Kan Kavar B'Tov. He denied the good that was given to him. He was Kavoy Tov. Seriously? She really ruined everything. Right? She's the downfall of mankind is because Chava gave from Adam to eat. Adam's right, no? And the answer is no, he's not right. Because when you receive such a matana, the best thing that you've ever received in your entire life, and you have the chutzpah to look back at the nosein and say, there are issues with it, there's issues with this, there's issues with that, and I don't like this, I don't like that so much. Kavoy b'tov. That is a mita maguna, and that is something that we have to weed out of ourselves. When you receive so much, Matzah Isha Matzah Tov, if you have so much from this gift that Kashbro gave you, Chava, and you deny it, and you have the chutzpah to turn back at the nose and start talking about the issues that are with it, it's terrible. It's a chorp. It also goes to the core of the Yisithu tribe story. We all know the famous Medrash. There's a little bit of ambiguity in the Pesukim as to who hit the oar when it came to Makas Dam. As in, Moshe was in Aaron, say the Chasei Chazal famously, Moshe didn't want to hit the oar. Why? Hakaras HaTov. The oar saved him. So he had to show Hakaras HaTov. The oar. We mean the Avodah Zarah River that was the instrument of massacring hundreds, thousands of Jewish babies. Show Hakaras HaTov. That's a great context to show Hakaras HaTov. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the oar. We're talking about the Nile. Adkan? That far? And the answer is yes. This isn't just a medrash. It's a pasuk in the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let's say Mitzri. A Mitzri being due acceptance to the Kal Hashem. Aye, says Rashi, Mikol v'chol. Eventually there's a tikkun for him, you can enter into the Kal Hashem. Afa pisha zarku zechurei am lior. Even though they were the murderers. They're not just the tool of destruction. They were the ones throwing the babies into the river. Shayu v'chem achsani b'shat atchach. They gave you you were in a time of trouble and they gave you achsanya. They helped you in your time of need. The Torah is clear. Yes, Adkan. Adkan, you have no excuse. There is no valid excuse for not showing kindness. It doesn't matter how many problems there are. The Mitzrim deserve a kindness atone for opening up their borders to us. It doesn't matter how bad it gets, how many issues you have. You're still a kavoy tov. We still have to show ourselves. The Torah demands it of us. Nothing less. The Tzura of a Yid demands it. And last, the third point, for a little further. There's a big difference between the way that a Makar Tov complains and the way that somebody who's an Aluka complains. In many ways. One, a Makar Tov always has a much broader perspective. He understands that other people have needs. People have see things differently than he does. Some people have slightly different needs than me, and that's okay. And he understands that when he makes requests and complaints, he acknowledges that there's a broader oilam out there that this yeshiva services. And then there are people who don't look at it that way. And again, I'm going to tell a story, and the story is not, I don't even know who the story was about. It was going around when I was in my first years in YU. Whether it's true or not true, the point is that we're all guilty of it. There was a shemua that somebody was aggressively asking, why isn't there a men's mikvah on Wilf? There should be a men's mikvah on Wilf campus. So again, let's translate that question. That question is, why doesn't the yeshiva spend millions of dollars to build something that five guys who are too lazy to go to Dumbrov every morning would use? Why not? Why not spend millions of dollars on that? Especially when it's like a kfiyah. How dare they not build it? I would use it, by the way. I would love to have a men's mikvah on Wilf. It would be geschmack. But seriously, like a little perspective here. You know, there's some students who couldn't even afford to come here and they needed real help financially from the yeshiva to be able to come here in the first place, and you're asking for a multi-million dollar project for that? Perspective. And Aluka only sees what I need. Have me. Give me. Give me. Give me. More. I don't care what anybody else needs. I don't care about the tzibur. I don't care about a broader perspective. I want this. Give it to me. And somebody who's a Makir Tov recognizes that there's a much broader oilam, and that my yeshiva, which is so special, services so many different types of people, maybe I should take into consideration others as well when I make my complaints and my requests. And one more, most importantly thing. A Makir Tov doesn't complain. A Makir Tov rolls up his sleeves and gets to work and helps and sacrifices and gives of himself instead of sitting back complaining until he finally decides to go over to the next host. And Aluka can't sacrifice anything. Aluka gives nothing. And Aluka just takes Midas HaGehenna. It's the Itosh that the Baal Tanya describes. The lowest form that only is Makabal and gives nothing back. It's not capable of giving anything back. Somebody who's a Makir Tov gets involved. They don't complain. They complain. And then they'll try to help fix it. They'll come up with suggestions. They'll get in there. They'll sacrifice. They'll give. That's how you can tell the difference between somebody who's a Makir Tov and somebody who's a Kafur Tov. Just to conclude, we need to shed the aluka. No more midas again. Let's get rid of all of it. You need to become a yid again. You need to feel a deeply rooted sense of hakaras hatov and appreciation for what this yeshiva has done for us, what the rebbeim have done for us. We have to ditch the ayin hara and the megi ali attitude, all those things that make us always question and always constantly cursing every single little last thing that we don't like. We have to give it to the yeshiva. Daven for the yeshiva. Daven for the Russian yeshiva for a change. Give to the yeshiva generously, and I don't just mean financially, although Rabbi Penner probably would want me to say that. You could sign up for the Torah Tone outside or the Torah-thon. Be an ambassador. Roll up your sleeves. Start helping. When you see the yeshiva needs help, instead of just fetching about it, get up and help. Do something about it. Be'ez Hashem Chavar, we're going to annihilate the Kitrug Min HaShemayim against us, ourselves as individuals, and our community. No more of it. We're going to give generously. We're going to be moser nefesh for our yeshiva. Give heart and soul to our yeshiva. Show a karsa tov to all our mechanchim, all of our rebbeim, since we were mamish 3 years old. Totally destroy the kitchen of min hashamayim. And if you're not capable of giving so generously, lefachot, please, at least, just give a language. At least. HaKashu v'Sameach, guys.